Blog Talk Radio.
Now, this is, we had planned Will Rogers week, and I think this humorist who died in the mid-30s, in a humorous way, he did point out the problems facing Americans at that time, and it seems it's come full circle. So we're going to play What's Wrong with America. I think it's very apropos right now. And this is Will Rogers, and here we go.
Dancing at Reisenweber's restaurant in New York. And while while the nation danced, one man watched it all and discussed the topics of the day. He was Will Rogers.
Now, folks, all I know is just what little news I read every day in the papers. Everybody's talking about what's the matter with this country and what the country needs. What this country needs worse than anything else is a place to park your car. What our big cities need is another orange in these orange aid stands. I'm off Ireland for home rule from now on. I read an Irish paper the other day and it says liquor is 18 cents a quart. Can you imagine a nation wanting more freedom than that?
Florence Ziegfeld kept bringing Will Rogers back to his follies year after year, and Rogers was a hit as usual. The year was 1914. By this time, the First World War had started. In England, they were singing It's a Long, Long Way to Tipperary. In America, they first sang I Didn't Raise My Boy to Be a Soldier, but that changed to I'm Proud to Be the Mother of a Soldier Boy by 1917. Oh, How I Hate to Get Up in the Morning, Katie, and Hinky Dinky Polly Voo became pop hits, and Over There by George M. Cohan developed into an unofficial anthem, much as God Bless America did 25 years later. Lillian Russell, Douglas Fairbanks, Mary Pickford, William S. Hart, and Jack Dempsey sold war bonds. And thinking of more peaceful moments, Earl Carroll and Enrico Caruso wrote a song together called Dreams of Long Ago, and the great Caruso recorded it. As the war was ending, John Wanamaker's, a department store in Philadelphia, transmitted phonograph record music to John Wanamaker's store in New York without the use of wires. It foretold the coming of a great new segment of showbiz, radio.
Well, that was just a little excerpt with Will Rogers. We'll be playing Will Rogers' comment on government plans, which is very apropos to the so-called health care plan, Obamacare. And I guess this is, I'll take a liberty and say, this is probably what Will Rogers would have said if he had been alive when this plan was rolled out on the computers and whatever. Now, here's another political sage. He's called the Barefoot Boy from Wall Street, actually. He was born in Indiana. He studied law, became a lawyer, and was a 1940 campaign Republican candidate for the presidency. And this is Wendell Willkie in his 1940 platform. I think it's since we've just gone through this small election. This is certainly relevant.
Because I am a businessman, of which, incidentally, I am very proud and was formerly connected with a large company, the doctrinaires of the opposition have attempted to picture me as an opponent of liberalism. But I was a liberal before many of those men heard the word, and I fought for the reforms of the elder La Follette and Theodore Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson before another Roosevelt adopted and distorted the word liberal. I believe that the forces of free enterprise must be regulated. I'm opposed to business monopolies. I believe in the right of collective bargaining by labor without any interference and full protection of that obvious right. I believe in minimum standards for wages and maximum standards for hours, and I believe that such standards should constantly improve. I'm in favor of the regulation of interstate utilities, of banking, of the security markets. I believe in federal pensions, in adequate old age benefits, and in unemployment allowances. I believe that the federal government owes a duty to adjust the position of the farmer with that of the manufacturer. If this cannot be done by parity prices, then some other method must be found without too much regimentation of the farmer's affairs. I believe in the encouragement of cooperative buying and selling and in the full extension of rural electrification. And I believe that the federal government owes a very strong obligation to preserve our natural resources. But I do not base my claim to liberalism solely upon my support and advocacy of such reform. American liberalism does not consist merely in reforming things. It consists primarily in making things. We must substitute for the philosophy of distributed scarcity the philosophy of unlimited productivity. I stand for the restoration of full production and re-employment in American private enterprise. Present administration has spent $60 billion. The New Deal stands for doing what has to be done by spending as much money as possible. I propose to do it by spending as little as money as possible. This is one issue in this campaign that I intend to make crystal clear before the conclusion of the campaign so that everybody in this country may understand the tremendous waste of their resources and money that have taken place in the last 7.5 years.
That was Wendell Willkie, and what he said then was certainly relevant today. Of course, when the politicians say it today, when they're running for office, do they really mean it? the pundits have been complaining that a lot of people just don't vote, and they don't realize what America should mean. But of course, given what we're offered by the two major parties and the pablum that they palaver, as they say. Also, the fact that they don't keep their promises and they lie, distort, omit, and of course the morons in the media. And these are the people who lie, distort, and omit. Incidentally, Morrissey, I think he's British. He wrote a song called "Journalists Who Lie." Of course, I wouldn't call them journalists; I call them propagandists. And we were given a demo disc. And we'll excerpt by what he said, what he's saying, which is also very relevant today. The great Danish Helden tenor, that's the tenor, who usually sings these very strenuous, long-winded Wagnerian opera. This famous Danish tenor who fled Europe and sang at the Metropolitan Opera, sang this song. I think it's very relevant, and we should be constantly reminded of what America means to me.
What is America to me? A name, a map, a flag I see, a certain world, democracy. I live in a plot of earth and street, the grocer and the butcher and the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see, all races, all religions, that's America for me. The little town of Kitty, where my people lived and died, the howdy and the handshake, they're all feeling free, they're right to speak my mind out, that's America for me. They think things once the small, the little corn and you stand, and the house a mile tall, the wedding and the churchyard, the laughter and the tears, the dream of me and life for 150 years. The town I live in, the street, the house, the room, the payment of the city, all I got.
Refused to sing in Bayreuth, and Hitler, of course, was a Wagnerian nut. This used Wagnerian music to a lot of his these horrible spectacles of the demonstrating the new Nazi power. Anyway, that was Lauritz Melchior, a great tenor. He became was born in Denmark, studied in Europe, sang at the Metropolitan Opera in New York with Kirsten Flagstutz, made a lot of great recordings. And he became an American citizen and died in Santa Monica, I think, in the 70s. So we're just shaking down this new computer and trying to get some of these problems ironed out. What a mess. Anyway, Friday we will play, this was supposed to be Will Rogers week because it was his birthday, and we'll play a replay Will Rogers' humorous comment on government plans, and I think it's very apropos to some of the things that Mr. O has proposed to transform America. So we're going to end early with our usual thing, politics and poker, and also later this month we will have special on John Kennedy. What I remember in November 22nd, 1963, I think it was a Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. And also we'll get a take from, I hope to get him, Patrick Butler, who was a Chicago, Illinois, a real political journalist. And he also wrote a new book on a neighborhood of Chicago, which has a lot of interesting history. And, of course, it also had some German, former German soldiers in World War II. I used to hang out at a bar, which I went to a couple times, called the Metropole. And we'll discuss a little of that and what we were doing on November 22nd, 1963. Also, November is the month when there's two other famous Americans about the same period, General Billy Mitchell, who was court-martialed, who was the father of American air power, and also Warren Gamliel Harding. I'll tell you some of the things that people didn't know about Harding that the historians overlook. Fascinating man. For instance, he did start the Bureau of the Budget. He offered media people, I think he set up the first radio booth in the White House. He was his election was the two major candidates were from Ohio, James Cox and Harding were both newspaper publishers in Ohio. The other candidate was a radio journalist or print journalist from Pennsylvania, I think in the Philadelphia, not that, Inquirer, I think. It was also, I think, the first election to be broadcast. The returns were broadcast by radio. So we'll end with our usual, and then we'll get into what's happening with Fukushima. I understand there may be censorship in Japan of the media, in Japanese media, on this issue because it's a lot worse than we're hearing about. Also, it's interesting, it may indicate that San Francisco may be becoming a little more conservative of the election yesterday, where the overwhelming majority, about 65% of those voting, as opposed to 35 or 36% of those who wanted this project, condos, so-called affordable housing for the very wealthy on San Francisco's waterfront, which some people refer to as Miami Beach on the bay, and the project was defeated, but they'll probably be back with another scam. So we'll get into that, and also there used to be a lot of libertarianism here in the city. People could walk around nude, run in the Bay to Bakers nude, showing their shortcomings, but now our board of supervisors, which is unabashedly liberal, has now passed an ordinance banning overnight sleeping in Golden Gate and San Francisco's parks. I don't know where these people are going to go. It's really a tragedy. But anyway, we'll end with our theme, politics and poker. We will be back. I hope we have most of our problems resolved with this new computer. So we'll end with politics and poker. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. Here's politics and poker, and maybe we get a lot of politics. Maybe these politicians should play some poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of checks, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to call the bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
This is Peter Paul Brazola. We're going to end early, and I'm still working on getting the rest of these problems worked out. So we'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Have a good evening and good night, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. Good night.